Here he is, man. For the pre-show for Friday tonight, we have the Improv, Hollywood Improv. This is our last one of the year, December. And, wow, really appreciate everybody at the Hollywood Improv for making everything so easy for us and so great. And the help with booking people. And the lab is such a great little room, a great place to, you know, to be honest, to work in if you've never done stand-up. And I'm not a stand-up artist, you know. I'm a performance artist. I do more character sketch stuff than I do actually joke telling, but nonetheless, great people there making things you know, pretty easy for us, and I don't mean that it's easy work. It's not easy work, but anytime you have people that are helping you along the way, it's great, man, because, you know, entertainment business, for the most part, it's a cutthroat. It's just as cutthroat. It's probably more cutthroat than any goddamn business you want to mention. I don't care what. Politics. There's a lot of people in the entertainment business who help you. People look out for each other. There's no question. But it's also highly competitive and in every... I don't care what you're talking about. Podcasting, broadcasting, television, film, stand-up comedy, sit-down comedy. Fall down comedy. The fuck am I looking at here, man? Jimmy Kimmel. Or no, not Jimmy Kimmel. It's Jimmy Fallon. Grant Tinker has passed on. A lot of you guys may have heard the name. Grant Tinker at one time was, I think he was married to Mary Tyler Moore. Perhaps briefly, but nonetheless. He was the guy behind Hill Street Blues. He did a lot to bring the quality of television up. You know, Hill Street Blues, it, to my memory, and I could be wrong, but Hill Street Blues was the beginning of TV making a concerted effort at doing some quality stuff. You know, a concerted effort to try to reach the level of quality that television had attained in the 50s when they had, like, Playhouse 90 and Studio One and these live... dramatic presentations and teleplays that were written by people like Paddy Chayefsky and Rod Serling, and all this stuff was being put on live weekly on network television. Marty, the first time Marty was ever seen by an audience was a television audience. It was done for TV, written for TV. And Requiem, I think Requiem for a Heavyweight, the same deal. Marty was originally done on television. I think it was Rod Steiger played the lead role. Requiem for a Heavyweight on television was Jack Palance, or Jack Palance, or Jack Palance. I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's Palance, Jack Palance. See what else? Just a ton of shit. And then television settled into it realized, shit, we don't have to work that hard. I mean, that's really what happens. Oh, we don't have to work that hard. So they did that and made money. They did when I say that, I mean, they settled into the 1960s, which a lot of people may have fond memories of the 60s in television. And if you were 10, yeah, it was fantastic. You know, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Flying Nun, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Wild Wild West, The Virginian, all these, you know, Bonanza was kicking ass. Perry Mason, that was one for my mom. And then the 70s, holy Christ. There were a couple of shows in the 70s I liked. Streets of San Francisco, I really loved. A lot of people like Kojak. I could take it or leave it. He was a little bit too much over the fucking top for me, that character. Telly Savalas' Kojak character. Just a little, with the lollipops, I don't know. And the way he would talk to his superiors, like, hey, let me tell you, you know, hey, Captain, what do you want? You know, it was more like a cartoon, I thought. But I liked Streets of San Francisco. I liked... Kung Fu, even though, you know, the criticism has been absolutely dead on, which is, why did they hire an Anglo actor for that? Why didn't they get an Asian actor? I can't tell you. Well, I think I know why. Because you white people wouldn't watch it. I think it would have been cooler watching some Asian cat just beating up on all these cowboys and shit. The other thing that was wrong with TV in the 70s, when slow-mo was introduced in the movies, when they started to use slow-mo for violent scenes, like, you know, And they brought that into television. God damn it, did they overdo it. But along came the 80s and Hill Street Blues. And on the comedy side, Police Squad, which lasted six fucking episodes. That's how good it was. And I mean that sincerely. It was so fucking good. Even TV in the 80s, when it was looking to really improve itself, couldn't take it. No, I can't. This is too funny. You know, 30-something. It was a great show. That was a great fucking show. You know, there's a lot of them. It's really funny. There's an episode of 30-something. That season, one of the characters, two of the characters, a brother, two brothers, their father dies. And my dad died within, I'd say, 6-7 weeks of that episode airing. And it just, I mean, it hit home, man. Same thing happened in our family. These two brothers are at each other's throats over the passing of their father, their disagreeing views of him. And that's what happens. You know, if it hasn't, you consider yourself lucky if you've been through it. But the passing of a mother or a father generally puts the kids, the siblings, at odds with each other. Not permanently. It's a passing thing, but it's amazing. You're arguing all the time, fighting. Now, I don't know why my sisters and I and my brother and I were arguing when my dad died, but we were arguing about some chicken shit, forget what. And the nurse comes in. I'll never forget her. We're sitting there in a cafeteria-type place. My dad's in intensive care, and he's not doing good. And it's more like a death watch, to be honest with you. We're just, his heart is slowly decreasing in beats per minute. His body temperature was elevated dangerously. And we're in this room, and we're having coffee, and we're arguing. And this nurse walks in, and she says, "I got a feeling that man in that room would love to see this right now. I bet you he'd enjoy himself watching you people tear each other apart." And we just, like, you know, I mean, she was speaking truth, you know. She'd seen it happen before. And I said to her, "You've seen this, huh?" She says, "All the time, once a week, twice a week, however often it happens, I see it all the time." My hat is off to that Jack in the Box, Jack, that commercial that just keeps going and going. My hat, a tip of the cap to those cats that do that, because it's a beautiful thing, man. You're a good girl. You're a good girl. You're a good girl. She wants to go outside, but she doesn't get to go outside until we're all done here. All right, man, where is it at? What am I looking for? Oh, I'm looking for the commercial, yeah. What the hell am I at here, man? Where the fuck is it? CISO, when saying her name is CISO, not CISO or CESO. What? CISO. I guess people have been mispronouncing that. Which is hard for me to imagine because it seemed pretty obvious to me. Sesho? S-E-E-S-O. How do you get Sesho out of that? I don't know, man. They got everybody doing these Snickers commercials now. I just saw fucking Martin Scorsese on one of them. Now that's goofy. All right. What is this? A fucking app? Is it audio or is it video? Boy, some people can't read, I guess. Sesho. Honey, you can go out after I'm done. We'll let you go out. Don't worry. Don't worry. She's like all freaked out. She didn't get to go outside. Oh, man. Oh, I know what we got to do. We're doing this guy's head. The guy on the right. I guess it's a normal shaped head. Just looked a little too perfect. Perfect Aryan skull. I'm joking. Is that? Oh, that's the phone number. Doody doo 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 dee 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 dee. Tereshenko, here's my stick.
Tereshchenko, I think, play in America. He's good, you know. He's play in America. He comes back. He play for a Moskva Dynamo. Play for a Red Army.
The Red Army, as I understand it, believe it or not, it doesn't exist anymore. Well, it didn't exist when there was still a communist Soviet Union. The Red Army existed only during World War II. I think they renamed it the Soviet Army or the Soviet Union Army, something like that. But it was only the Red Army was a very short span. I don't know what it represented. It's kind of like the Union Army in the Civil War. We had the United States Army, but that was very, very small. Not more than, I don't know, maybe 50, 100,000 guys. What the overwhelming majority of forces that represented the United States were Union forces, meaning units from all of the states. That's why in the Civil War you heard about the such and such New York and the 69th Michigan or whatever the fuck, you know, the 54th Massachusetts, very famous. All of these different fighting units representing these different states. And together they were the Union Army. Interesting shit. Do you know that there was an Alabama regiment in the Union Army? There were select areas in the South, I don't know how many, I know of Alabama for sure, that were loyal, sections of the states were loyal to the Union and fought on the side of the Union as a member unit of the Union Army. And one of them was a cavalry unit out of Alabama. And that unit fought alongside Sherman in the tail end of the war. They didn't, I take it back, didn't fight alongside Sherman. They were part of the tactical plan. They had Sherman's rear, if you'll pardon the expression. They protected the rear of Sherman's force as it went through Georgia. And I don't even think they were that close. They were more, I think, in Alabama and north up in Tennessee as well. But they were there to make sure there was no... one of many units there to make sure that there wasn't any harassment from the rear. And I'm sure they took part in a lot of other things. Well, look them up on Google. They ought to have, like, some kind of a special Alabama units in the Union Army. List of Alabama Union Civil War regiments. Here's one here. This is the one that I was thinking of. And this is the... 1st Alabama Cavalry Regiment, Jimmy Wales, Wikipedia founder. Donations, PayPal, there you go. Have you ever donated to Wikipedia? There was a time when I didn't trust Wikipedia, but since they've really worked on sourcing and footnoting and otherwise verifying their articles, more and more I go to Wikipedia. The 1st Alabama Cavalry Regiment was a cavalry regiment recruited from Southern Unionists that served in the Union Army during the American Civil War. It was the only predominantly white Union regiment from Alabama. Of the 2,678 white Alabamans who enlisted in the Union Army, 2,066 served in the 1st Alabama Cavalry. That's why I thought, so that left about roughly 600 soldiers serving in other units. 482 enlisted men gave their lives, mortally wounded in combat. Died of disease, 13 enlisted men. One officer killed and mortally wounded in combat. 482 enlisted men, 5 officers wounded. 2 officers, 450 enlisted men. Captured or missing, 0. Both sides of that. Isn't that total 8 officers? Wow. Well, for a regiment with 2,066 soldiers... They lost 945. Actually, I take that back. Yeah. No, they didn't. They lost about 500. So what is that? What's the percentage of that? Less than, well, no. It's more than 20. It was about 25%. Here was one of their commanders. This is George E. Spencer,
Honorable George E. of Alabama.
Boy, I bet you he took a load of shit from people after the war, huh? Don't you think? Seriously, because the more I read about the Civil War, the more I read about... I don't really read about the Civil War. I don't have an interest in the Civil War the way a lot of people do. I have an interest in the period, though, the politics, the people, the personalities, and it was bad, man. I mean, you know, they hated, the Southerners hated the Northerners. They hated the goddamn Union soldiers. They hated the especially the black soldiers. I can only, and they hated Lincoln. All this stuff about how the Southerners mourned Lincoln. Well, yeah, there was a significant number of Southerners that mourned Lincoln, and there was also a significant, very, very large, I would say, majority of Southerners. Well, I can't say majority, but the voices that were happy that Lincoln was dead were loud, and they were prevalent, and they were everywhere. And they were in newspapers as well as private citizens. They loved it. But so a guy that raised a regiment and commanded a regiment loyal to the Union from Alabama, I mean, that cat must have been hounded. Oh, they must have hated him, you know. So what happens if there's a listener of mine like Austin Amarca? Or maybe Steve Bozell. Okay. Chopper sound effects. I'm telling you, it's just forget it. I mean, I'm a fucking child. I'm a child. I am a child. I last a while. You can't conceive of the pleasure in my smile. You hold my hand, muss up my hair. It's lots of fun to have you there. You don't know that song? That's a Neil Young song. I am a child. I am a child. I last a while.
I'm still right out the 15 freeways out there in downtown Los Angeles right now. We got the 15 freeways backed up pretty good here, Phil, until about 5 o'clock. We have the 15 and the 5. Phil, right now the 50. I'm still right down the 15 freeway opposite backed up here. But it'll be probably until about 4 o'clock this afternoon. There's the CHP's down the street there. Is a stop knot, and there's a sow up down there, too. As if you've seen it, that bandy sow has got about your...
Testing 1, 2. All right. All right, man.